Welcome to the Dr. April Jasper Show, relevant conversations for business owners of today.
If you suffer from dry, scratchy, irritated eyes, the problem may actually stem from your eyelids. Cleansing eyelids daily is essential for maintaining healthy eyes, which is why doctors recommend OcuSoft Lid Scrub Allergy Eyelid Cleanser. New OcuSoft Lid Scrub Allergy removes oil, pollen, and other contaminants from your eyelids to effectively reduce redness, irritation, and itching caused by seasonal allergies. These pre-moistened wipes are easy to use, on the go, or at home. Simply wipe and leave on. As the industry standard of care, OcuSoft has a full line of eyelid cleansers for various conditions. Available through eye care professionals, most retail outlets, and Amazon.com. Visit OcuSoft.com for more details.
Welcome back, everyone. David and I are thrilled to spend the next few minutes with you. And we want to talk, it's early in the year, but who knows when you actually get to listen to this. It's actually springtime, so close to my birthday.
Yeah.
And as we sit here looking at the tulips and the daffodils, all that we have sitting here on the table at the house. I love flowers, by the way. That's why we have them everywhere.
She definitely loves flowers.
And David's good about making sure I always have them around because they make me happy. They give back to me.
Yeah.
So that's what we want to talk about today. We want to talk about how do you prioritize things in life, such as things that you do for others and giving back, and what ways do you want to think about it? I don't know that I have all the answers, but let's talk about what we've done and some of the things that have been so important to us over the years.
Yeah, and getting involved in optometry.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously you do a lot with optometry as far as being involved. You have the FOA, you have the academy, and other organizations that you work with, and vendors, and everything like that. So what do you think the first step is, kind of just to do that in general?
Right. You know, I had somebody ask me this the other day. It was another optometrist that said, how do you get involved and what did you do first? So I think it's a great place to start, Dave. I think that the one thing I wouldn't have thought to say as an answer until recent years is that it depends on what you want to do. So start out right away being involved in your state association. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what happened when we lived in Tallahassee?
Yeah.
We had just finished, I've just finished my residency. We moved to Tallahassee.
Yep.
And David's heard the story many times. He's lived the story.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Dr. D'Agostino.
Yeah, he called me up. I didn't even know what the state association was. The AOA didn't, as the American Optometric Association, they didn't have as strong a program as they do now in helping students to know what is coming next, what is the AOA, and what should you be doing to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
So, and honestly, I was just so worried about getting through school.
Right.
Just let me pass the next test and let me pass my boards. And the stress level was, I mean, just extreme for me. So the last thing I was thinking about was giving back. At that point, it was just making it through.
So staying afloat day
to day. Staying afloat. And then we did our residency, and you and I had so much fun. We participated in some of the stuff that was important to me back then was to go to CECO and and do a paper, a poster, so I could get there for less cost. So we did things like that, but we really didn't get crazy involved even then.
Right.
And then fast forward to Tallahassee.
Yeah, we arrive in Tallahassee and what, like, a week, 2 weeks later,
they're reaching out to me. The optometrists there—they were amazing.
A local society, though, it wasn't really—it wasn't the FOA or the AOA or anything like that. It was just a local society meeting.
So Dr. D'Agostino reached out to me and he said, "Hey, do you want to go to a local association meeting?" Mm-hmm. Which I had no idea what it was. And my first answer, typically when people ask me to do something like that, is no. And he would not take no for an answer. He said, how about after work today, I'll pick you up. I'll take you there. There's food. That does help when you're talking to April. If there's food involved, I'm often going to say yes.
Yes, for sure.
So I went to that first meeting and learned what the association was. That association there, we called the Northwest Florida Optometric Association. Every region is broken up into a different association.
Yep.
From there, the Florida Optometric Association, where I became president of the FOA in 2016. I think it was 2016, 2017. Yep. And that was where we began that whole process. I learned from my friends how I could do more And I didn't have a lot of money at the beginning of time. And so it wasn't about money.
Yeah, that would have been 96 was when you first started. And you actually got involved immediately with that association.
Yeah,
started moving up the
became president of that association pretty quick.
Within a year or two, I think.
And really, it was just about then. It's not a, when we say giving back, sometimes it's money, sometimes it's time.
Right.
And I hopefully will see people doing both down the road.
Right.
But start out with what you have.
Yep.
And for us, it was just, what can we do to help with anything that needs done to help patients to be better cared for because optometry is better understood?
Right.
And help our colleagues to better be able to do what they need to do to take care of patients over time. So,
and it was fun to see the new patients or the new doctors come into town after that.
Yeah.
And see how we could help get them involved in the state association or whatever it was, the local society or whatever.
Right.
And that was, it was gratifying. And you found out why Dr. D'Agostino did it. I mean, it was
amazing.
It's just a part of life and it's just a part of giving back that let's help each other.
Yep. So start there. And I knew all along I wanted to be a fellow of the Academy, but I didn't at the very beginning have time, I felt.
Yeah.
We were just getting established, learning to live life without having to take tests every day. Can you believe?
I was just getting into it.
Oh, that's right. You were just getting back into school.
Right.
I was just going to say, I still have my worst nightmares. You know, we all have our bad dreams once in a while. My worst nightmare that I have still, once in a while, I'll wake up terrified that I forgot to show up for a test. It's crazy. How do I still dream things like that? But that's how stressful school could be.
Yeah.
So we were just learning how to live life outside of school.
Yep.
But we wanted to make sure that we continued to stay engaged. You were going to school at this point.
Yep.
We didn't have kids yet. And
correct.
I said, I still want to make sure that I become a fellow of the Academy, but I didn't have time really to do a lot. So
right.
I started thinking about it, saving cases because there are case presentations, case reports you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I started saving all of those so that I'd be ready when the day came. And eventually it did. It took me 10 years, but sounds like a long time. It's just because I didn't put my heart into it until we had kids and became more established. And then I said, I'm just going to get this done. So that was the next thing we did.
Right.
And then I think other stuff that we did along the way, as far as giving back, we wanted to share our learnings, right?
Right.
So we moved to West Palm Beach from Tallahassee after the kids were born and you'd graduated. Six, 7 years had gone by and we said, let's get back home.
Right.
And
6 years.
6 years. There you go. David's good about keeping me on time here and honest with the timeline. After we moved back to West Palm, within a year, we bought a practice.
Yeah.
And we
about
started.
6 months. Yeah, we were in.
Yeah. And the practice, when we jumped in, I didn't even realize how many glaucoma patients we had.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize how many disease patients we were going to have.
Mm-hmm.
But we got engaged. We got involved and we learned. I learned as I went along, bought technology I needed to buy.
Right away. Yep. Got involved with vendors immediately.
Yeah. And by getting involved with vendors, what that meant was we had to learn to communicate with them and better understand the technology. And they were part of our team.
Right. Well, they taught our team. So they became our team.
Yeah.
Honestly, those same reps and whoever it was that was involved, that were involved with our setup are still part of our life today.
They are.
I mean, there's so many that we still know. I mean, we had just had dinner with somebody from that you knew from Tallahassee.
Yep.
A couple of weeks ago, and they're still there.
They helped to bring us to where we are today. And I think that's what's really key is to build relationships with people that will help to grow you, grow your practice, and bring value to you and your practice, which then brings value to your patients.
Right.
We are thrilled to have CooperVision as a sponsor of the Dr. April Jasper Show. CooperVision is a global leader in contact lenses. What I love about CooperVision is their dedication to our patients, as evidenced by CooperVision's MySight One Day, the first and only FDA-approved soft contact lens proven to slow the progression of myopia in children aged 8 to 12 at the initiation of treatment.
And you never know who that's going to be. Now,
right.
I'm of the belief that you should be nice to everybody, and that will make a big difference in life overall.
And I'm not, right?
No, you are too, but I don't know that everybody out there is. Obviously, we wouldn't make it together if we didn't both
have
that
same feeling.
Yeah, that's true.
I agree. Yes.
But what I didn't realize over time is how important it would be even to our office and our practice to build those relationships. So then what happened, and how does this all come back to giving back and becoming more involved? Well, as we realized that the things we were doing in our practice were a little unique and special, in the fact that we were the first many times to do a lot of stuff. We were the first to integrate all of our technology,
right?
So that we didn't have to print those messy pieces of paper every single time a patient came in, mm-hmm. and try to lay them all across the desk and look at them to see if a patient's glaucoma had progressed. You know, we were the first to put a lot of this in place. And David and I realized right away, we want to help people do what we didn't know they didn't know how to do.
Yeah.
Now that's a very complicated
I think our IT guy had a love-hate relationship with us.
Yes. Oh,
I mean,
my gosh.
It was good because he would come and learn, but at the same time, it was a costly and
right.
drawn-out process with us, but then he could obviously go to the other offices and just done. It's over.
But look at them now. They're the best IT company around.
Yeah.
And the good news is they learned then mm-hmm. from us, so now they can be able to implement in other practices.
Mm-hmm.
But we digress. So what happened was we then had vendors that would reach out to us and say, hey, can you guys go out and teach people how to do what you're doing? Mm-hmm. Can you do an event where you come and share your story and tell people how you've done this and how it's made a difference for you? Because it will help them and it will help the vendor.
Yep.
And everybody can learn and grow. And so what David and I did learn is that we weren't ready right away. We still hadn't figured it all out.
Right.
But pretty quick, we started to share our story.
Yep.
And it was incredible to see how, what an impact it could make on other people, how it could bless them, and how they could then avoid the pitfalls that we had not avoided.
Right. Because they're nonstop.
Absolutely.
I mean, as you're implementing something new, it's going to be constant.
Yeah. So we worked with vendors, we worked with other doctors, and we've learned over the years that giving back, sharing your story is so important. And I hope you guys will too, because I learn from people out there all the time.
Right.
I listen for one little tidbit of information mm-hmm. that you're going to tell me in your story that will make a difference and help me to implement a new strategy that'll make a difference for my practice. So,
and it's not just optometry. I mean, all kinds of different podcasts and books and you name it. It's every industry you can imagine. There's always something you can learn from somebody.
I get emails from you. I mean, you guys are awesome. You send me emails with your stories. You reach out to me when you see me at a meeting, and I love it because I can share it if you give me permission. And if you don't give me permission, then I'll just learn from it. So any of that stuff you can send our way. But on a personal scale, we encourage you, be involved in the AOA, be involved and create relationships, build relationships with your vendors. And remember, even the one you may not like for one reason or another, be careful, because one day they'll end up at a different company and you're going to need them. So you got to kind of get past the do not like. Doesn't mean you have to do business with them if they're unethical. That does happen sometimes, that there are those out there.
Right.
But just make sure you're building those relationships and then share your story.
Mm-hmm.
What
else? That's basically what you started doing. I remember the first time we were out at iFinity in California. Was that 2005, I guess?
Yeah.
It's when they actually asked you to get up and share your story in front of everybody at the,
and you were learning,
we were just learning the EHR and getting everything involved with that. And we were doing it in our office, but we were still there to learn.
Yeah.
And they wanted you to get up and fill in for somebody. Just like, okay,
somebody
sure.
Somebody didn't show up, right?
I think so. One of their speakers. Yeah.
And David and I were out there just to attend.
Learn. Yeah.
And they looked at me and said, hey, the speaker didn't show up. We're talking about integration. You've done this in your practice.
Right.
Will you get up and share with everybody? And I said, a room of hundreds of people? No, right. I don't do that. And they asked again. And one thing I always am worried about is disappointing people. Right. And so that became a greater need, not to disappoint them, than me being anxious. And you were right there with me. So David and I scribbled down notes as fast as we could. And that's exactly what we did. Yeah. All I did was get up and share my story. I said, this is what I did. And then people would ask questions.
Right.
And we could answer them. Mm-hmm. And I hope, and I know, I don't just hope, but I know that that made a difference for someone else.
Oh, yeah.
Because they didn't have to have the same struggles we did learning on our own.
Well, I think it made a big difference. And the evidence of that was, for the next several years, you were helping them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and you have story after story of people calling and emailing and texting wasn't a thing back then, really, but
coming to the practice when they wanted
to. They were in and out of our practice all the time, and it was just, I mean, it was great for us and great for other people to, for us to help them.
Exactly. And, you know, I think that as you think about, as you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, April, that sounds really good, but how do I share my story? How do I get out there and do this? First of all, you can email me, and I'm certain we can get articles put in magazines. That's one way. You can share it on social media. And then I would encourage you to speak at meetings, like just submit a course. I would be happy to help you. If you have a story and you're just like, April, I don't know how to do that because I've never spoken in front of a group before.
Right.
A lot of times the best way to get started is to be with someone else on stage so that you can have that mentorship and I can help you. That's how it worked for me. That first time I didn't have anyone up there with me, but after that I did a couple of my first CE events with other doctors, and they were so good at helping me to be stronger. They even looked at my slides and said, no, April, you need some sources. Dr. Michael Sullivan, he did a glaucoma lecture with me, and I'll never forget. He helped me put everything together and helped me to understand where I needed to have footnotes and sources and, you know, just having someone there to help you put it together can make the difference. And your stories will change someone's life for the better.
Right.
If we just did more of that, if we shared more of our experiences, it would make such a difference.
It would.
Even with your training to be, you know, to do your triathlons.
Right.
You learn so much from other people that have been through it, right?
Absolutely. Their experiences in doing Ironmans and half Ironmans is just invaluable. I can't even imagine not having that. The first people that did it were just pioneers, you know, but that's for any, whether it's a job or whatever it is, for fun or, you know, riding bikes, whatever it is.
Life.
Yeah. That's right. It's just experience.
Challenges you go through in life.
And you hope to find those people that can just pull you along the way and just encourage you and help you. And I've been fortunate to be in those places.
And we love being able to help other people. So here's something I would love to leave you with as we close this out. This has been all about giving back and what can you do to help other people and how do you get more involved in optometry as a whole. But what I want to encourage you with and leave you with is something that David and I both believe very strongly. And that is that you will not regret as much the things you've done as the things that you have not done. So keep that in mind as you think about life going forward. If you have that something that you've always wanted to do, always wanted to share, do it, because you're not going to regret as much the things you've done as you will the things you have not done.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate it. We look forward to seeing you next time, and send in any questions you have. Make sure that you follow us on YouTube and, you know, just share with us the things that are challenging to you so that we can help to find solutions and share them with you. We may not know them, but we can find someone who does. So thank you again.
Your eyes and your vision are under attack. Damaging blue light from the sun, your phone, your computer, your tablet, even light bulbs and car headlights is constantly bombarding you. The good news is our eyes actually already have a line of defense to counter the effects of blue light. This defense is made up of three pigments called carotenoids. MacuHealth with Micromycel, the only supplement with the exclusive patent on all three macular carotenoids and Micromycel technology.